This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everyone, Carm Capriotto back, Vision 2024 Studios with what I think is going to be a hoot of an episode here. You are on a Town Hall Academy mastermind, and thank you so much to NapaTrax. Let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. NapaTrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training and six-day-a-week support and local representation. Please don't discount the value of that and daily training. Find NapaTrax on the web at NapaTrax.com. Our goal is to leave you in a better place after we're done, but I'm not sure today that's going to happen. It was last year here at Vision. I got together with three Napa trainers, and two of them are back because I think they just want more torture to all happen. This is great.
I think we scared the third one off.
I think you did too. Bill Weaver's with us. Hello, Bill.
Carm, great to see you. And I'm glad to be back, honestly. It was a great experience. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Decided to stick it out one more time. And
yeah, I can't believe that.
We brought a new guy.
Yeah, I know. Kurt Eigenberger is here, and brand new is Randy Cowan. Hi, man.
Hi, how are you?
Did you hear that? So should we start with the Oak Ridge voice thing?
You can make him sing. He is a new guy.
I have to do this?
Yeah, you have to do this. Just do it for us to set the tone of the day.
I'm going to break him in.
Because yeah, I met this guy with the deepest baritone next to Barry White here. Do it for me, baby.
Boom, ba, boom, ba, ba, mow.
Thank you so much. In fact, I think we need a new sounder for the opening of the show, Tracy. What do you think?
And we're off with a bang.
It's going to be one of those days.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is. Listen, we just want to talk about anything and everything that has to do with training. You guys are here. You all had classes. Yes?
Mine comes up Sunday. I've taken some. Of course, this is one of the best times for instructors and students themselves to come out and network and see other people and pick up those tips. And it's a big fraternity here that we come and see. And I look forward to it so much every day.
You know what he just said? He's taken some classes. Here's a trainer who does this for a living, who writes courses. You're out there and you took some classes. What classes did you take?
Oh, I sat in on Lonnie Horn was doing some electrical stuff and John Farrow had done some. And these are all friends that we've been. I don't think it's any big secret in the industry. There's 100 of us trainers out there, and we pretty much know one another, respect one another. And it's nice to sit in a facility and an event that's so professional like this and just have that camaraderie and pick up not just the technical aspects, but the way we tell our stories, the way we interact is as an instructor, as a trainer, as an educator, we always want to look to better ourselves and change the perspective of the industry.
Do you have to have an engineering mind to be a technology specialist today?
Oh boy, that's a loaded question.
Funny you should bring that up. That's a new moniker I've been thinking about, today's technicians. And when you think about what we're asking people to do and the technology that we have to embrace and the turn towards being specialized in what we work on, today's vehicles require you to have the knowledge and the thinking skill set of an engineer, because that's who designed the car. And now even into the diagnostics, the scan tool data, everything that we receive, there's more and more blend towards the engineering speak, the engineering data. But you also have to have, and you'll love this one also, a hands of an artisan. I'm working on plastic underneath of a vehicle that will crumble at any time. We have to be careful and not do other damage to the vehicles. We try to do sometimes very intrusive testing. As the industry has morphed, I think the skill set, the mindset, and the attitudes of technicians and specialists as we bring them along, it also has to change.
I love the word artisan. To me, that is something that you could take a piece of clay and work it hard, or you can take a fine brush on a painting and do some fine touching with that. So we work with our hands in this industry. And I think an artisan touch with an engineering mind, I just love that.
These guys will reiterate on it. What we work on today is somebody's not bringing you a $12,000 car at this point. They're bringing you at over $100,000, even at a pickup truck level. They're bringing you a $70,000 to $100,000 vehicle. And we all know how important putting looms and wiring harnesses and everything back into correct location. So integrity and having that mindset, I think, becomes important. Randy, you see it all the time when you're out. The people that excel at this are detail-oriented. It's a mindset change.
What are you working on? Do you guys get together and say, hey, we need to update this class. Let's sit down, Kurt, all of us guys together and figure out how old is the class? What are we learning? You're going to courses. You're coming back. You're taking notes and you're saying, wow, we can do this better. I learned something new here. Because I think when everyone attends everyone's class and when we watch the trends and the evolution, do you ever give the same class twice? My point is that what are we doing to evolve training?
Boy, the training, quite honestly, evolves with the technology evolution. As far as that goes, everybody wants to see the newest, the latest and greatest and so on. When simply put, maybe that's not exactly what you need, though, as far as training is concerned in your shop or as a technician. But yes, a lot of it has to do with what do we see in the industry? What do we see in the field? What are the guys having trouble with as far as material?
Are you pulling that thing back to a Napa Auto Tech training community? You know what? I failed to mention early in the episode that you're all with at Napa Auto Tech. I don't know why I forgot, but I always think that my listener assumes that where you guys work.
That's because you can't see the big picture on the wall behind you. From this side of the table, we can see that.
I get it. Yeah, it is behind me. You're right. Napa Auto Tech training, these guys. And they sponsor Matt Fonslow's show. So thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. But is there a repository, a collection of ideas that you pull and say, we got to uplift these classes?
We're constantly bouncing things off of each other. Yeah. As far as what have we seen? What have we heard? What are the techs in the field asking for? What are you guys having trouble with? And there too, we all make ourselves available to the technicians after the fact, as far as, hey, if you got an issue, send me an email, give me a phone call, whatever the case may be. I'll see what I can find out, that kind of thing. So
I get it. Yeah. Randy, in class, did you teach anything yet?
This afternoon. Yeah.
You would be the wrong person to ask this. Bill, have you taught yet?
No.
Have you taught yet?
Again, this afternoon.
Oh, dear. Okay. We picked this time.
Hypothetically speaking, sure. Go for it.
Hypothetically speaking, you've looked around and seen the young people that are here.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I guess the point that I'm looking for is, as you do your classes this afternoon, call me and let me know what's going on with the uptake. What kind of questions are we getting from our young people? But you've had them in other classes before. I don't have to give you your vision experience. What are you seeing from our youth?
I'll give a little bit of advice to our youth out there. First of all, thank you for showing up. We are getting, let's say we're a couple shades lighter on the gray hair in our audiences now. We have gotten to the point where I think we've elevated the service specialist and technician level up high enough that it's a desirable position. And I think the older generation that we are, whether you're a trainer or you're in the trenches as a senior technician, understanding how to mentor and bring them along into the industry instead of out of the industry and encourage learning, I think, is super important now. I do see a bigger push towards younger, more excited technicians to come in and learn not just the nuts and bolts part of it, the mechanical specialist. I see a lot of people coming in that are embracing computer technology, the ADOS technology, just the real techie electronic side of it. So there's a split in the people that we used to associate with going into automotive and the people that we should associate with going into automotive now.
You look at it, and quite honestly, how many computers does it take to open a window on a modern vehicle? Seriously, it's not a case of things are quite simple anymore. So yeah, from a technology standpoint, absolutely. It's good to see the new blood getting into the business, because the industry has for quite some time had a lack thereof. So quite honestly, I'm just happy to see new blood getting into the business, period.
And that's an amazing question. Yeah. It's an amazing question about what does it take to open a window?
Yeah, something that simple.
I wonder how many lines of code and computers that need to talk to each other to actually then turn the motor.
Absolutely.
Let's guess how many.
Do you guys know? Lines of code? No.
It would all depend.
Forget the lines of code. But multiple computers need to talk to each other.
Yeah, definitely.
And there again, it depends on what we're working on.
In most cases, you want to open the driver's window on a modern vehicle. You're looking at a minimum of two computers involved to do that job.
Yeah. There again, think about how many computers you have to have when you push the start button to make the car start.
When you do a full system scan, you plug in your scan tool, you do a full system scan and it goes through and it pings every module. How many do you see? How many modules do you see on that list? Each module is a computer. So when that list populates and you've got 42 different modules that you're communicating with, literally that's 42 different computers on that car. So if that tells you something.
Where do we see our youth that has come into our business as a mechanical specialist and they're really good with their hands, but all of a sudden you see a glimmer that the fact that they could move up into the technology specialist role, or they show promise, that kind of training. Let's talk about how we elevate our people that have come in the shop, maybe in a very young age with limited experience. What are we looking for in an individual that we can groom into that high position? And I'm not saying that a technology specialist is a high position. It is a unique and different specialty.
Boy, in my experience, the motivation and the desire.
Okay.
Are the two big ones. Skills can be taught. Okay. You can teach anybody a skill, but it's the motivation and the desire to learn and to, I don't want to say take that next step, because it's not a next step. It's a directional step, in my opinion, versus, hey, I'm good at and I'm happy with working with my hands and that's what I want to do. There's importance in that too. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. But you have to see, or the technician in question, the up and coming, has to have the desire to want to go the other direction or that direction.
Motivation and desire, Randy. What else?
Me personally, I'm looking for that guy that's looking 5 years in the future. What is the technology coming 5 years in the future?
That's a good point.
And that's the guy I'm looking for that's already looking at that technology, saying, look, this is what's coming. I need to get on top of it now, so I'm on top of my game when that comes.
That's a very good point.
I was a young tech when fuel injection came out, and I had spent 2 years prior doing nothing. And you know what it was like in the 80s to find information, period.
Hey, now you're dating yourself,
sir. I know. I don't care. But back then, it was just getting into books, understanding it. And when these vehicles started coming into the shop, I turned into the go-to guy. And
because you had the desire to do it.
Because
you wanted to.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that really, I really feel you've got to be looking into the future, what's going on. And any young guy out there right now that is not looking at hybrid and electric vehicle technology and battery technology, you're going to be, in 5 years from now, you're going to be on the backside of things. My personal opinion.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the big questions that I will ask my students in class. How many of you guys are working on hybrid and EV or high voltage systems? Just out of curiosity. And you'll get handful here and there that'll raise their hand.
What percentage of the class? 20?
Maybe not even.
That's scary to me.
Quite
market
honestly.
Market specific.
Yes.
Very
okay.
Market specific.
It is. But my comment is to them, I'm like, the rest of you who aren't, you will be. And it's that simple. You will be.
They will come.
Yeah, you're going to be working.
And you're right.
If
you're East Coast, if you're a coastal city, you have to have them.
College towns. It's amazing. Yeah. Even the center of Ohio, where we put our EV program, and we did that on purpose because our EV program didn't want to be based in a hot spot of EV vehicles. We want to do training for everybody that works on it. We put them in the Rust Belt where it's cold to expose a lot of the things that the average technician that doesn't live in an EV area is going to come across. And back to the original topic, I've always looked for attitude and then multiplied that by aptitude when I'm looking for the person to move into the next phase of their career, the next level of technology, the next expertise in our ladder of becoming a full automotive technology specialist, no matter what it comes across. Aptitude is becoming more and more important, but I would still say attitude is more important at this point. And what I mean by that is, if I have a technician that will seek out the correct information on his own before he makes a mistake, there's a moment there where as a mentor or a shop foreman that you should pay attention to that, because they're on the track and not being told. To be an automotive technology specialist in any arena that we talk about today, it has to be a type A personality. You have to understand that a lot of the information that you receive from, whether it's service information, aftermarket, or direct, some of it is, there's a lot of copy and pasting going on. So you will get false information, and you have to learn to walk with a swagger, be able to have some critical thinking skills, and be able to trust your ability as a technician to see through some of the problems that come along. So if you see somebody that can identify those skills of problem solving, of working ahead, thinking ahead 5 years, making less trips to the toolbox, grabbing the information they need, even if it's more than they need before they form their diagnostic plan, there's just certain traits that you can identify that they're going to be successful. And I'll add to that, there are people that you can go to in any business, whether it's restaurant or a counter where you may get some sort of professional service done. There are people in industry, even in drive-through windows, that you just identify skills ahead of them right away that you would be successful in anything that you chose to do. And I don't know, some of it's intangible, but there is something about certain people that you meet, and you know that you could mold them into doing whatever they needed to be
successful. They wear it on their face and in their body position, how they present themselves. This has been interesting so far. Please chime in, Randy. Motivation, desire, attitude, aptitude, and you said futurist.
That's a good way to put it.
And if you could look at that in the individual that you want to hire, anyone that you're interviewing, anyone that you see in an internship program, anyone that you go out and meet in high school or college, I'm telling you, we're not doing enough recruiting. We're not doing enough getting out there, are we?
They may already be in your shop.
Yeah, that is an absolutely perfect answer. It's what am I going to do with Bill? Oh.
Put them in a corner and give them hard stuff to work on. And it worked out.
Yeah. I just take exception to the type A personality. And don't ask me why, because I know a lot of low-key people that are fabulous, the technology specialists. They're up there.
They may be, I would say maybe type A isn't a correct word, but down deep, those people may be polite on the outside, but they never stop thinking. They never stop pushing.
Right,
and they're aggressive, maybe not on the outside towards other people, but when it comes for their quest of knowledge or the end result of fixing that car, no matter what they perceive on the outside, that fire inside is the type A that I'm talking about.
Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice, and having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing tracks to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Tracks always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com.
Guys, this morning on the panel discussion that I moderated here for breakfast morning, it was about communications, techs, service advisors, ownership. And one of the things that came up was my mind is going faster than my mouth. My body is moving faster than I even can think. Is that a really cool and different trait for a person of this type? Or do they have to slow down a moment so that they at one point in time, they can share what they know to the service advisor? I think you're that kind of guy. Am I right, Bill?
I've lived that life. Right. See, yeah. And I got to tell you, Carm, it has served me extremely well until I got to where I am right now. Right now, I am putting together the EV program, and all technicians out there that gung-ho jump in and figure it out as you're going has got to stop when we get to electricity. When you get to high voltage electricity, it is so much more important to think your plan out, think the obstacles out, think the situations that you're going to put yourself in as you do this test, because it's no longer a rotating mass of an engine that you can see moving. When you deal with high voltage electricity, there's one chance for a horrible mistake, and you have to change that. So it's funny that you would ask me that, because I've literally lived like 90 seconds ahead of my mind the whole time.
So wait a minute. Are you purposely going from 100 to 55 miles an hour?
Honestly, I think I put it at 25 to start. It has been the hardest thing that I've ever had to restructure my mind about.
Wow.
It is electricity. And when I teach it and we're going with high voltage, I'll admit it to everybody. I am frightened of making a mistake on electricity. I am not frightened of electricity. As long as I have that healthy respect, and every time I go over to it, I think of, is there an obstacle in my way to testing in a safe manner? If there is, what can I do to bridge that obstacle to make safety in the forefront? Our EV program, it's been near and dear to my heart, because I remember what it was like to get new technology thrust upon you as a technician with zero training. And up until now, it's been mistake prone, but it hasn't been extremely dangerous. We're in a situation right now where it can be extremely dangerous for even seasoned technicians to have ignorance on these systems and cause something horrible to happen.
The intensity of that respect of electricity, I'm just sensing, as much as we teach it and we're trying to give that level of respect to people, I'm sensing that people are casual about it.
Because we have been, and we've been able to be. The technology you're dealing with, you're talking about high voltage, you're dealing with technology that it's a one and done situation. You've got one opportunity, you make a mistake, that was your one opportunity. Let's just leave it at that. Whereas in the past, that wasn't necessarily the case.
It's also that, like Bill was just talking about, the difference between fear and respect of what you're working on. That guy that's afraid of this, he's more scary to me than anything, because he's going to make a mistake out of fear when he's forced to work on this vehicle with absolutely no training.
It's not something to be afraid of. It is something to be aware of.
So we got the gloves. We got the hook. It's over on the wall, but oh, it's just there.
There's so much more to understanding how it works correctly. The gloves and the hook are just the beginning of it. Before you put on gloves, before you put on the hook, I really feel you should have an understanding of the operation, the safety, the risks. The folks over at ASE have got two really good EV certifications to make sure that your staff at least is aware of what the potential is on both the service technicians and just anybody who casually may come in contact with an EV. We will have you change your shop order of operations. For instance, when we teach EVs, once the keys go to the technician as the master of those keys until it's returned back to the service writer. And there's just a lot of things that we teach that's different. And the whole idea, and we don't want to make this all about EVs or scary. It's just that there are things that we have done in our career to flat rate or make a job go quicker that we really need to rethink or at least be prepared not to be able to do when we go to EVs. A prime example, for many years, you may take the air conditioner and compressor, unbolt it, leave the hoses attached, move it out of your way, do your service work and reattach it. If that's got big orange cables coming to it, I'm not sure unbolting that thing and flopping it over on the fender and not making sure the system was shut down. And we've all done it. We've all been there. It's been a common practice. I'm just saying that it's time to pay more attention to the order of operations to make sure that everybody in our shop is safe and prepared to deal with the new way that we have to work on these vehicles.
The most important piece of safety equipment is not the gloves. It is not the hook. It is not anything else. It's a plan. Have a plan before you approach that vehicle. Know what it is that you're going to be doing and have it planned out ahead of time.
I think we need to take a page from the manufacturer when it comes to this. One of the things that almost all the manufacturers are doing with their dealerships is you don't touch one of these vehicles until you have been through the proper training on these vehicles, knowing the proper way to disable them, using the proper safety procedures, using the proper safety equipment.
You just said the key part right there. Right. It's not just being trained on it and knowing it, it's actually doing
but
it.
But this is something that I think needs to be pushed, not just on the dealership level now, but this needs to be looked at in our aftermarket levels that, look, if you are going to be a technician on these vehicles, you're going to work on them, there has to be a set of standards put forward to every single shop, to every single tech working on these vehicles. That's the only way that we're going to keep them safe.
I have a crazy question about advanced basic electrical training or really good electrical training for the beginner or the advanced person or whatever course you want to call it so people show up.
Never use the term basic if you want people to show up.
I know, I get that. And I was being totally facetious about that.
Advanced and electrical diagnostics, that one will sell.
Exactly right.
Same class.
And it's a basic electric. Now. Do we have to have the command of that? Have to be in play in order to do
EV? That is the word. Before you move into EV, you have to have command of electronics. You have to understand it. If you struggle with a voltage drop on a starter, understanding how a contactor closes and the tests that they're doing is probably not going to make sense to you. It's for advanced technicians when we start doing the heavy repairs and the diagnostics. But let's face it, our first foray into EVs is going to be tires. It's going to be wipers. It's going to be the parts that wear on the car. You're not going to be pulling in an EV and putting a battery in every other one of them. We don't pull cars in other than your brand. We'll just leave that alone to put an engine in it all the time.
What are you driving?
Never mind.
Okay.
He actually has one of the hamster mobiles that's under the recall for the engine.
Oh, nice. So. Those are great.
Yeah, I got a new motor about 2 months ago.
Where do you buy the hamster food?
Turns out there's public hamster stations everywhere.
You know what? I'll show you later. I got a really cool photo a buddy of mine sent to me that it's got the not to name another manufacturer, it's got the Hemi logo, but it's spelled out Hammy. And it's on a picture. It's on one of those type of vehicles. So, comical.
All right. So let's go back to this whole basic thing. if you bring somebody into your new EV training center, the new NAPA in Canton, are you going to do any kind of pre-qualifications or assessments?
Minimum of an A6 to come to the first level of training that we do.
Okay.
And we'd like you to reach out through ASC campus and at least have your EV1 certification, XEV1. It's a very nice familiarization course.
It's a safety course, isn't it?
It is a beauty. I think everybody in a shop that deals with it should, my opinion, make it mandatory for training for anybody that may touch a set of keys or be around it, because it's that good. And reached out to ASC when we put it together, and I thought the document was so good when I saw it. We actually formed our class based around teaching to that test and their standards. And the reason we did that is Randy, you spoke about the manufacturers out there earlier. Yeah. I can look at five different major EV manufacturers and I can find discrepancies in PPE requirements and their training requirements. Mm-hmm. So high voltage, there's a lot of commonality. The folks over at ASC were very good about sitting down, blending it together. And because of the ASC being our certification process that we recognize in the aftermarket, we decided to teach to that. So before I can bring you in and make you safer on high voltage and understand isolation faults, we make sure that you are certified through them, at least in the basics of electricity and then the idea of safety around an EV vehicle. Now, I have had some of my students go through the class and just be so much more appreciative about the ability to touch and feel and work on these things as opposed to just looking through and taking a test. And I think they're more confident after leaving, as Randy said, actually powering down the vehicle and bringing it back up and working with the gloves several times on your hand. And we tend to teach through self-correction. Are those the right meter leads? Do you have your gloves on? Are you working with one hand? And it's a constant mentoring/badgering program that we go through just to make sure that it becomes second nature to them. What are you looking for? Are you removing the barriers for you to have an injury? Are you working safe? Do you have a plan?
That's the power, the plan.
Agreed.
Command. Thank you. You can buy that word, command.
I'll do that. We'll talk to you later about failure.
Kurt. Kurt, trends. What are you seeing? Trends. What's trending for you? I keep hearing about e-fuels and hydrogen. What's going on?
I try to keep an eye on some of the industry trends as far as that goes. And the conversation, of course, we were just having is about EV and high voltage and that. And quite honestly, a couple of things, and this is nothing more than an opinion. I don't foresee the internal combustion engine ever going away. Certainly not in the near future, if ever, number one. Number two, high voltage systems, again, never going away. But there's also been a trend in the industry as of recently for hydrogen fuel cell powered vehicles, and they're under development and so on. Some of our major manufacturers are testing these vehicles on the road as we speak, as far as that goes. So that might be another direction, a whole nother technology, a whole nother ball game, if and when that comes to fruition. Fact of the matter is, quite honestly, this is just a great time to be in the industry, because this is the biggest change the industry has ever seen. Since the dawn of the automobile, we've been using internal combustion engines in some way, shape, or form, whereas now we're changing the entire propulsion system, not only going electric, but also possibly going with alternative fuels like fuel cells. Whether it be a fuel cell or a hydrogen-powered internal combustion engine or a fuel cell that generates electricity that then charges a battery and drives the wheels. One way or the other, there's a whole number of different directions the industry is headed. And quite honestly, the industry as a whole, including manufacturers, don't have a real good handle where this is going to go. So I think we're at a very big change, and it's a very interesting time to simply be in the business.
It sounds like a fun time to embrace all the new stuff.
Yeah.
That's constantly coming out, and it doesn't seem like there's an answer for anything. It seems like there's always thing new, something different. We were talking about e-fuels before we turned on the mics, and the kind of money that Porsche has invested in that. We've done an episode on it. So if you love change, and if you love technology, this is not your grandpa's skilled trade anymore.
No, and that goes back to the earlier question about the young people getting into the business. It's a great time to do that. If you're a fan of, hey, I want to know and I want to see the latest and greatest. I got to have the newest cell phone when it comes out. I got to have the newest video game when it drops, whatever the case. This is exactly where we are in the automotive industry right now.
And you don't have to walk around and be the old grease monkey. That's the biggest thing. And this is that genre that we need to get away from. that our career anymore is not about being the grease monkey. How dirty can I get in a day?
Okay. You know? On that note, look at your fingernails. In this room, those of us, how many of you right now have clean fingernails? And that's my point. So no, the stigma of, Bill, you don't count.
Yours are painted.
Bills are painted.
Bill, yours are black. Why are they black? Are you singing tonight somewhere?
I can't even own a white t-shirt. I cannot get away from it. I walk by a car and grease and dirt and oil just find itself to me. I don't know how it happens, Carl.
And I've worked my life to find ways to get out of ways of being dirty. And I started out as a heavy line mechanic, by the way. But as I embraced the technology to get away from it, that's what I did.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'3.5", according to the doctor. I shrank an inch.
They told me that last time I went to the doctor, too, that I shrunk an inch. Yes. I refused to believe it. So you know what I told the nurse? Do it again.
It's metric. You got a metric to measure.
It didn't change one bit, did it?
No.
No.
My point was he was a heavy line mechanic.
The scale is line.
They're big.
Also.
Yeah. I'm standing on milk crates to reach an F-150's engine.
And he lifts the engine out with his hands.
Yeah, he's sitting there saying he has to stand on milk crates. They don't make racks big enough for me.
I bet you.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time on the dashboard.
He has to duck, right?
Oh, probably the number of bumps on my head.
Imagine seeing him underneath the dash, like you said, huh?
Yeah, back in the day, I spent a lot of time under a dashboard and riding around in a trunk and stuff like that. So, Randy, I don't know where you're coming from.
I didn't ride around in trunks I couldn't fit. As I got older, I got more experienced with it. I actually look for ways to keep from getting dirty, from getting into that part of the industry anymore. I'm like, there's younger guys that can do this that want to do this type of work. I want to be on the technology end. I want to be on the end of diagnosing, on sitting there in front of the computer and figuring things out. Because Bill talks about, we think differently. I stay up till 1-2 o'clock in the morning because that's the point where my mind shuts off.
Might want to watch your coffee intake.
I've tried everything with that. And it's a matter of my mind to stop working. That's at the point where I can finally go to sleep.
What class are you training here? What's the name?
I am doing electronic steering and suspension.
Nice.
So
full class?
I'm not sure.
Find out when you get there.
I'll know when I walk in.
What are you teaching?
Oxygen sensors and air fuel ratio sensors.
Nice. You, Bill?
I have a Sunday class, high voltage air conditioning.
Damn, you love
it. I thought you were going to just sit around and watch movies.
Super secret. I did make a lot of movies, so it depends on how your Saturday night goes, what we do Sunday. It's a tough class on Sunday. By the time we teach a class on Sunday, these guys have been through 3, 4, 5, maybe even as much as 7 different classes, and we want to make sure the information sticks. So Sunday morning, I've always let the class dictate. We just want to have questions. I've got a PowerPoint to go through, but the conveyance of information has always been way more important.
You guys struggling with anything? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. It's like we have to keep it to the topic. I can go through 170 slides and just blip through words, or we can have conversations about what you're struggling with, you don't know about, what is troubling you, what makes you stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning.
And that brings up a very good point. Generally speaking, when I do a class, and there are some guys that love this, there are other guys that don't love this. My goal is not to get through every slide in the time allowed. I would much rather, we got through 3/4 of, and we've jumped around and hit some highlights type of a thing, because I'd much rather have it be conversational as far as, maybe we came a little off target and we went off on a little tangent here, but it applies to the topic of discussion, and I prefer to let the class lead itself as far as that goes. Yeah. And maybe we ran out of time and we didn't get through every slide. But you know what? I'm not there to read slides to you. If you wanted to read slides, you can look it up online. You can look in the book. You can read a page just as well as I can read a page. And that's not the point of being there. Let's make it conversation.
You're right. A lot of professional trainers have told me, listen, if you've got 8 slides you never covered, don't tell anyone. Just keep moving on. If the class is going good, even though you may be disappointed, the class isn't.
The slide is just there to be a guide.
Yeah.
Just a guide, a conversation.
Don't overdo the fact that, I'm sorry I didn't cover these last 10 slides. That is, I'm not getting my money's worth. Just keep going, move on.
No, that's just the PowerPoint, the slide, whatever. That's just an outline.
It's a guide.
That's an outline to a conversation. Yeah. Those are the best classes, the ones where you're having the conversation and, okay, we've got the interaction and we've got the crowd involved and somebody wants to talk about an experience that they had and a problem child vehicle or whatever the case, as long as it pertains to the topic, those are the real learning moments right there. Because, again, I can stand there and I can read words on a screen to you. That's not the point. You wanted to read words? Here's a book. Go ahead and read the words. We're there to learn from each other. And quite honestly, and I've said this before, 9 times out of 10, when I'm in front of a crowd, I am not the smartest guy in the room. Okay. We've all got our own different knowledge bases, our own different experiences. And again, I prefer to let the class lead itself. And let's see where this goes. Back to Bill's Sunday morning watching movies.
I got to tell you, for all you young guys out there that listen to this podcast, this is probably the third or fourth time you've heard this out of an instructor's mouth. Participate. Ask the questions. Be respectful and stay on topic. But I try to tell them, if you're in a situation where you don't understand that topic and you have a question, there are probably 4 or 5 people in this room that aren't brave enough to ask that question. So why don't you be the brave one? Ask that question and make that instructor explain it to you in a way that everybody can understand it. Because if one person doesn't get it, the way that we all learn so similarly, you have to figure there are other people in that room at that very moment that just aren't brave enough or secure enough, because it's hard to ask a question in a room of technicians. And amplify that when you a room of instructors and they all sit there.
Oh, there's nothing worse.
Yeah. And it's, I want to argue, but if I'm wrong, they're really going to let me have it. And that may be true in a room of instructors, but I don't know any professional educator who would ever admonish or tell somebody that was a bad or incorrect question. When somebody asks me a question like that, I take it very personally that I'm a bad instructor and I should have explained it.
Yeah. It's so important to ask the question that you think is a stupid question or, I'm hearing all these acronyms and I don't know. Hey, Bill, could you go back, explain those to me? Half the room needs to know that. And so what I love about asking what people think are dumb questions is you're not the only idiot in the room. And that's why you're here.
You are not the only idiot in the room.
Exactly right. And I don't say idiot in a bad way. The point of it is I learned a long time ago that if I walked out of something not fully embraced,
your fault.
It's my fault. And so I started to ask the questions and people would come up to me at the end. And I've said this on the show the previous times. Thank you so much for asking that question because I didn't know that either.
It's no secret that I have my job with Autotech because of those questions.
You were the problem in the room, Bill.
I was a student for many years, and most of the people that done that have moved on at this point, but it was literally a joke in the industry. We had to hire him. He would not shut up.
Pull him out of the classes and put him up front.
Yes.
Dumbest question in the world is the one never asked.
Oh, wow. Ain't that powerful? Guys, we can't wait a year to do this again, okay? We just can't. And I promise you, we got to do this virtually. If we can fit it into your schedule, say in the next so many months.
I'll tell you what, we've got our Canton location and we know a little bit about Buffalo to Canton. So
yeah, we're going to come down.
90 West, make a right at 77. Come on down. I think we can get these guys on some virtual. We'll get some of
wouldn't that be cool?
Our Ohio guys in. We'll bring you down to the EV training center.
We want to come down. Yeah,
Bill, I'm always looking for a reason to make a road trip. Come on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think we'll make that happen.
I'm only 2 hours away, man.
Whoa. So you teach all day and then you come into the studio with us, right?
No, I think we'll just not teach that day. We'll just open the studio up and we'll have some people come down and we'll spend the time. We can get lots of guest stars to come on.
Oh my God! Wouldn't that be so cool? We're going to get Matt Fonslow there.
Poke him with a stick. We'll get him to come over. Yeah,
you know what? If in doubt, poke it with a stick.
Do you use a cattle prod in the class to teach?
It is high voltage, sir.
He does have a giant hook in there, though.
Funny, I thought that was just to get him off stage.
Oh my God! Thank you guys so much for being here from Napa Auto Tech Training. Bill Weaver, Randy Cowan, Kurt Eichenberger. Thank you guys for being here.
Thanks,
Carm. Once again, it's been a pleasure. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.